Shane Knighty, who's our buddy from TSM back in the day, and he's been down here calling games for the Golden Knights for the past couple of years. He has joined us in studio. What's happening, Shane?
Not much. Yeah, I made the switch Winnipeg to Heroes.
Bit of a change.
Weather's a little different, but yeah, it's been good.
How'd that happen, by the way? Were you kind of sniffing around in the position, or
yeah,
did they come to you? Or I always wonder. Basically, I'm jealous because they didn't call me. But how did it all come about?
Well, you know what? I had no idea the process, but they had a lot of applicants, a lot of people threw their hat in the ring, and it was just something that I thought would be an excellent opportunity. You're going to the entertainment capital, chance to call games. I did not expect what happened last year. I expected a long, tough, painful first season. But it was a long process. Really didn't know about getting the job till early August. So it was a race to get down here once they hired me. But no regrets whatsoever. I absolutely love the city, the team, and for us coming from Canada, the other thing that really attracted me about coming down here was growing the game of hockey, which it is absolutely booming here, especially when you look at the kids.
That's what I was going to ask you. When I went to Carolina, it was so fun to see like the little junior Hurricanes programs, and then ultimately now I think there's guys that are from North Carolina that are making it to the NHL. So it must be fun to see those teams and just different people have their kids excited about the game here.
Well, absolutely, and it is, and I think they were near the bottom in the U.S. for learn to skate programs, right. And I think they've jumped 10 spots just in 1 year.
That's awesome.
They've announced another facility's getting built in Henderson, another two sheet ice, very similar to what they have at City National Arena, where the Golden Knights practice out of. But yeah, for me, it is. We started, my son plays, so he played on the Junior Golden Knights AA team. He switched to playing. They started their first middle school and high school team in Nevada at their school. Actually, the team that he was on, he didn't go with them, but they're actually in Quebec right now. So the Pee Wee AA team's in that huge Pee Wee Quebec tournament. So there's lots of representation. I think kids are seeing it now, and the Golden Knights, that has swung the movement without question. Mm-hmm. And just the passion people have for hockey here is incredible.
Shane Knighty in studio, color analyst for the Vegas Golden Knights. Yeah, I mean, we've been asking people the past couple of days who we've been talking to who live down here now. We had Kelly McCrimmon yesterday.
Right.
We asked them, based on what you're expecting, the reputation of Vegas and how I'm sure you had been here a bunch of times, but obviously probably not for business necessarily back in the day.
Oh, no.
How do you perceive the city now that you live here and you work here? Like, how much has your attitude towards the city changed?
Oh, it's changed. Well, I always loved it, but I never saw anything but one strip of the city.
Right.
And I really didn't even see much of the outside, to be honest with you. I'd probably been here 14 times. And when I go, it's full throttle. So a lot of it was inside, and when you woke up, you see a little bit of sunshine. But now that I've come and you see the surrounding areas. I mentioned Henderson. We live out in Summerlin, where most of the team and their facilities are. It's beautiful. Red Rock Canyon Mountains are in our backyard. There's hiking. The thing I've learned, and people don't know, well, there's teachers and there's lawyers and there's doctors. And, it's an actual city that people live in. And probably the best way I put about it, when you talk to people that have lived here and are really passionate about being from Vegas, the thing that always bothered them was the stereotype. You go around and they'd say, oh, you're from Vegas. Oh, the Strip. Now I think they take so much pride and passion. They say, where are you from? Vegas. Oh, the Golden Knights. It really gives them a sense of ownership having that team here. And last year when they came in, the Vegas-born slogan and all that, people have really bought into, and it's great for the game of hockey.
How did this area, all that we've been hearing from everybody, I guess everybody lives in Summerlin.
Yes.
How did this... Like, is there like a real estate agent that got involved in this and was like, I got great deals on houses in Summerlin, or is it the practice facility?
I don't know.
How did this one area get selected for all you guys to live?
It's where they built the arena, right? City National Arena. So it's where they selected. The owner lives out here. So, and there's a bunch of Howard Hughes company developments going on that really took over, there's the highway that goes around, and now they're building out towards the mountains. It's nonstop. A lot of people coming up from California for tax reasons. Huge tax benefits living here, which is nice. And it's grown. You talk to people, like, literally, 10 years ago, a lot of the stuff wasn't there. And not only the city, naturally, just built a 10,000-seat AAA ballpark right beside it that's going to open in April, I believe. So it continues to grow, and it seems to be the place to be. There in Henderson are probably the two most popular. Areas, you know, surrounding the Vegas Strip.
I know the real estate agents love it because it's like you're generally dealing with one or two of them that know the area, know all the guys, and
they are just making
that's the sales pitch. This is where the team lives.
Oh yeah,
right.
Yeah.
All the whole team lives out there.
Well, and it's a great, and you know, I think you know, O-Dog probably knows this. When we play, I remember playing in Atlanta. We had to do our. At times, we'd be able to do our morning skates right in Duluth where everybody lived, but sometimes they wanted you to go downtown for morning skate. Then you get a day room. Here, they do everything at City National Arena, which is about 5 to 10 minutes from majority of players.
I don't know about you, but I like the
day rooms?
No, I like the morning skate at the big rink for some reason. I just like to be in the building.
I mean, when I played for the Rangers, we did everything in Rye. And then just played at
and that's what they're doing here, and it's a perfect setup for that.
Yeah,
but it's not too far for guys to drive in for the game.
No,
that's a difference with MSG. We actually had day rooms right beside MSG.
Yeah, Atlanta did the same thing.
That was frustrating because you actually, if you had a game day routine or you have a family in town, you're checking into a hotel at noon for a game day.
Imagine this guy with a day room.
There are some guys who enjoy day rooms. Yeah, day room on the Strip. Yeah, there you go. It's a Cosmo.
I'll say this though. I'm old enough to have played in the minors against the Las Vegas Thunder. So we had a rule playing in Vegas, you had to be in your room by 2:30 that day to give yourself a nap. Because we had guys who would be late for warm-up because they'd get on a heater. I'll never forget. I had a defenseman named Rod Miller. Guy's just a gritty stay-at-home defenseman.
Rod the Bod.
Yeah. Late, like, comes in at 6 o'clock for a 7 o'clock game. Sorry, guys, got on a heater at the hotel.
Yeah.
What year was that? So I played against Thunder, would have been 97, in the IHL, Grand Rapids.
I
remember
IHL.
Coming here. It was my first time here, staying at the Luxor.
Yeah.
I remember we lost, and Davey Ellison, our coach, was so mad. He was pissed. So he stood at the front door, and I was like a young kid then, and I remember one of the veterans, Kerry Huffman, said, just wave as you go by. I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that. That's what you can go ahead and do that.
Shane Knighty in studio.
I always just love that. The coach sitting in the lobby waiting to
see. Oh, there's so many.
Like, what are you looking at?
So heroic.
Well, we were talking about that last night. The Leafs got out of here immediately. Like, why not stick around in
Vegas?
Yeah.
You know, they play really well. They won last night.
Or just have a rule. Have some fun
with it. Joe Quenneville, the Chicago would be here for like a week. he loved this city. Like, Chicago. And they used to come to Vegas like
every year.
Every year, yeah.
They had that Vegas trip. They would go and get rinsed in Alberta. Like, lose 9-1 in Calgary. Lose 8-2 in Edmonton, and they would still be in Vegas for four days off.
He would be looking at some ponies on TV screens in Vegas 8 hours later.
And the track is in Japan, and Q's got like just a paycheck.
Yeah, and you talk about everybody managing, micromanaging. You're talking about one of the best coaches in the game.
Right.
Yeah.
Take your P's and Q's from him. Exactly. Shane Knighty in studio. We're always curious to get the take from someone that's not watching the Leafs all the time. When they roll in, who's the player that you guys focused on the most when you were talking, during the pregame and the build-up? I'm sure you talk about the Golden Knights a lot, but is it Matthews?
Well, for me, it was Matthews because he was injured last time, so we didn't get a chance to see him. And I try anyways to keep tabs on the whole league. And Toronto's a team to me that really sticks out because, I think maybe because I covered Winnipeg and it was the Matthews Laine draft, so there's always going to be that comparison with me. And I watched Toronto and the way they built the team, and it's very similar to Winnipeg. You look at the draft picks, the solid core of those teams. Sure, they've got some good veteran guys around, but the speed and talent they have up front, it makes me glad that I'm standing between the benches for the game rather than on the ice when I look at the speed of the game, especially a team like the Toronto Maple Leafs and what Austin Matthews can do. And he was number one and deservedly so, and there's not even a doubt in my mind. Like, he is such a commanding player out there. His shot, his release, I don't think we talk about that enough, but everything else he does, his strength on the puck, his maturity level is beyond his years, and I think that's why I really focus on him. And also Tavares, whatever, I still don't know which way he's pronounced it.
Yeah,
it does. Obviously what he's done this year, Mitch Marner, I think is a delight. I thought Nylander really looks like he's starting to come around.
I
covered him at the Worlds when Sweden was dominating, and he stood out there. So I like a lot of the young talent. When you got a guy like Kadri on the third line center, you're a deep team. So.
Yeah. Well, and we were talking about that to start off the show. Like when Tavares signed here, what we saw last night was what people were envisioning, like a two-headed monster. Because I thought Tavares had a great night. Matthews was outstanding.
And you guys can tell me more. I really like that line, and I don't know as much probably as you guys, but Zach Hyman's ability to control that puck down low. I know, you know, like
but
he works
player.
On that
he's
line. Like he's the go guy, right?
Yeah.
He's the first. I think that's a real good setup. Sure, he'd maybe like to have a guy with a little more skill for those guys, but I think what he brings to that line really helps them, you know the other two guys.
He never takes a shift off either.
No, he doesn't.
He goes and gets it every time it goes
strong.
In the corner, and he goes and gets it. He's strong, and he's real effective. He might not have the finish around the net, but, man, he gets those guys a puck.
And then now Toronto, to me, he's got a Norris Canada defenseman.
Yeah, Riley's
been great. You look at Morgan Riley, everybody's going to look at the goal. To me, I look at that defensive play made on Will Carey at the key time, almost breaking in for, trying to break in on all alone. And another player they drafted that, and a defenseman takes a little more time than a forward.
Shane Knighty in studio. In terms of the Western Conference, how does Vegas stack up with, Winnipeg, Nashville, San Jose? Are they in that category for you, or just kind of a step below?
Not the way they're playing now. No,
right.
No, they're not there yet. I think Winnipeg, as you mentioned, those teams are at another level. That's the top of the Western Conference now, and for Vegas, they've got a lot of things to worry about before considering themselves top. Right now, they've got the third in the Pacific. They've got Vancouver chasing them. I think 7 points behind. Calgary and San Jose are starting to. I don't know if they can catch them. Really, unless they go on a real run, but Vegas has really got to figure out their game, and I think they can compete with those teams. I don't know in a 7-game series. We'll have to wait and see, but there's some room for improvement in a lot of areas of their game.
It's funny that we're talking about this, and we actually spoke about it yesterday with Kelly McCrimmon. Like, what is this team? It's crazy that you're a year and a half into past expansion, and again, you could be buyers at the deadline.
Yeah.
Like, where is this team as far as you said? So they're a step below those three, but certainly a step above, the mess that's going on in the West. Are they going to be looking at guys like Duchesne, Stone, anybody on the market to try and battle those teams above them?
I don't know if this year if they're going to be as aggressive. I think last year the reason they maybe forced it is they had surplus of picks, and I think the team earned that opportunity them to go out and add.
Yeah.
And when a team earns that, which they did, and it's strange for me, and I'm sure Leafs fans sitting there, we're a year and a half in, and people are like, what kind of team are they? And it's the year and a half in, they're still in a playoff position. We're not talking about them fighting for anything. They're probably right where they deserve to be, third in the Pacific, kind of in the middle. They've got a good lead on the team behind them. They don't know if they can catch the team up top, but they'll look at all options. I don't see them going out looking for a rental type player. You mentioned the Duchesne, the Stone. There need to be a contract or something worked out in that situation. And I look at their depth. To me, they're one top nine forward off, and we always forget this happened in the game against Toronto. 29 goal scorer last season, Eric Halla, has been out since that game. Like that addition of one more player really would round out their top nine, and I think that's maybe what's been missing a little bit this season.
Shane Knighty in studio. We talk about all the Canadian teams a lot. I mean, we talk predominantly about the Leafs, but a lot of the Canadian teams, and Edmonton is a team that we get to all the time, and they're in the same division as Vegas. What's your read on what's going on with Edmonton? And I mean, is it with McDavid and how great he is, but the rest of the team is just a mess right now.
Yeah, it's very unfortunate because, I don't think I've ever paid for an NHL ticket, but if I did, it would be to watch Connor McDavid. They got the fastest player in the world, but I don't think they might be the slowest team. It is. They've got to rework a lot of things there, and it's a culture. There's a culture there that they have not been able to break. It just seems guys come in and, I don't know how to explain it, but, maybe I was fortunate in my career. When I started with Ottawa, we had very good teams, so you learn to win. You learn those habits, and it carries on through your career. A lot of these guys drafted come into that organization, and then they make moves, and it seems like guys just fall off. And, hey, Milan Lucic, horrible year. I don't know what they're going to do there. Good friend, but, man, it's not working out. Those type of moves just have not paid. That type, Peter Shirelli, great, but, he's building a team that won in 2011. Well, that style isn't going to win you anymore.
Well, you were around that. You were in Boston.
Yeah.
Like, talk about the difference between that scenario and today's game. I mean, you just spoke about Lucic and Chiarelli. I mean, Chiarelli, people look at him now like he's a fool. And it's, you know, you won with Chiarelli. You've won with players like that. Is it just a scenario where he just miscalculated the league or too late? Like, what do you
think? I think so. I think the adjustment was there.
Shane, if you just have a bigger team, and if it's a half a step slower in the corner to a puck, it goes to the other corner, there's a half a step. It's a half a step slower to the point. Ultimately, it's going to end up in your net. All those half a step slower, it just ends up in your net. It's very simple.
It was the kind of the fat, I don't know if fat, but that was the style that was winning then. Boston, you look at the Kings, Daryl Sutter, those type of systems were winning then. Now you're seeing the Pittsburgh Penguins, the Capitals, you know, Chicago, the way they play. That's where the trend's gone now, and you need to be that quick team. You need to be deep. You can't have just two line scoring lines. You got to have lines like the Leafs, like, or you have Kadri on the third. You've got to be able to have that depth, that speed, that skill. And the other thing that concerns me about the Edmonton Oilers, guys, is if I'm interviewing for that GM position, am I in charge?
That's what I
exactly.
keep saying.
Who's
Nobody
in
knows.
Charge?
I think it's
Nobody
the owner.
Knows.
Who is in charge there? Like, how many more guys do they need on staff? And great players. But I think that's the big root of the problem there is they've somebody comes in, I think it's just clean house. Let him take over and give him that opportunity. I don't know if a GM has had that there.
We've talked about that. I don't know how many times.
I think we all concede the same thing.
The problem is if... And I'm not suggesting it's just one problem, but if the owner is the guy who's allowing this to... You can't fire the owner. Like, the owner has to allow the new person to have autonomy, but that doesn't seem to be the case. And if that doesn't change, then he's going to have his fingers all over the new guy. The new guy has to have some spine and some jam to say, write me a check and then go away, and I'll take care of the mess, but... It's his toy.
Yeah, he can do whatever he wants in the end.
It's the owners. Then we can talk about Ottawa next.
Yeah, no kidding.
No, we're not.
We'll leave that one alone. Shane Knighty in studio. We missed out on an opportunity yesterday. We had Kelly McCrimmon in here, and we talked about this last week. Porcupine Plains is probably our favorite little town, home of the Chases, Clarks and Koshers, and how tough it is. And we goof around on the show where if you're like a hipster from Toronto and you rolled into a bar there and said something stupid,
get your ass kicked.
You get dummied and dragged out of the bar. And we kind of developed this into a bit of a bit with Ontario and smaller, gritty, tough towns. You're a Manitoba guy.
Yes.
Can you give us a Manitoba town where you have to know your lane? And if you...
Best behavior.
Oh, go to my hometown, Neepawa, Manitoba. It's a town of 4,000. I always explain, they would say, what was it like growing up? I said, have you seen the movie Dazed and Confused? Basically, we drive around, you'd cruise go through the one stoplight in town, you drive out by the ice cream thing, turn around, you wait until you found a good party to go to. You go out to some farmland. I remember one guy had a meat truck. His dad owned the meat place, and so he had the great speaker. So he'd roll it up. He'd come out. Everybody'd give a dollar at the party, and he'd roll up the back of the meat truck, and there's a big system there, and pound, and there. You know, it's always guaranteed to be fights. You know, at time there's one bar in town. There was two, but one burned down. But then I remember Minnedosa, which was about 20 minutes away. There used to. It got really bad. The cops had to come in. Like, if you drove in and you're from out of town, you get beer bottles chucked at your car. Like, if you tried to cruise through. So, yeah, I know
angry
exactly.
Angry people.
Small town, man. Yeah, small town.
See, my dad's from Gimli.
Oh, I know Gimli. It's outside. That's fancy, though. They got a lake and everything. It's beautiful.
I thought whiskey is from up there or something. But, yeah, I always thought that was a gritty city. But sounds like there's.
No, you gotta get into the farmer area and all.
There's some options in Manitoba.
Some tough guys there that, and it's funny now. I grew up with their dads were the tough guy. Now it's like their sons are running the town when I go back.
Wow.
Well, thank you for joining us in studio, man. We really appreciate you popping by and enjoy your lifestyle down here in Vegas. It seems like a great setup, and they got a good team again. Year two, you guys are going back to the playoffs, so they're going back to the playoffs. So,
well, we hope so. Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, we really appreciate it.
Glad you guys made it down.
Oh, we're having a blast, man. We got to get out before we get in bigger trouble down here. There's Shane Knighty, formerly of TSN, longtime NHLer and a color analyst down here with the Golden Knights.